Blog Talk Radio.
Bye.
Fastlane Sports Nation. Welcome to a new week, a new show, and another great guest and friend of the show tonight. We have a lot to get through tonight, and only 2 hours to do it. We've got NASCAR turning left and right this past weekend in the road course of 2022. We've got the Fastlane Sports Show pick'em standings and results. We've got World of Outlaw Sprints finishing up California. Big E from Learnerville will be here to talk to us about the 2022 season at Learnerville. The big box coming up and so much, much more. So sit back, kick your feet up, and relax. It's time for another big show. So let's go!
From the 357 Woodwork Studios in Stark County on the SNS Radio Network, this is the Fastlane Sports Show. And now, your host, Pete Tonich.
That's right. This is the Fastlane Sports Show presented Hardcore Fishing Game. I'm your host, Pete. Thank God for another Monday. Oh, that's right. Another Monday, and we are back live coming to you from the 6 and 6 Radio Network. I'm your host. Thank you for tuning in tonight. We've got a great show lined up for you tonight, this evening. Of course, we've got Big E, Eric Weston, joining on the show. In just a little bit, he will talk to us about 2022 season at Learnerville. We'll look back on a little bit of history of the track. Also, we'll see how they did in 2021 as well, bouncing from the craft year that 2020 was for a of racetracks around the country. We've also got, of course, the penalty box coming up later. You're not going to want to miss that one. We've got Christina coming up in just a few minutes to do a little talking with us. But while you're listening to the show, if you're scrolling on Facebook or the internet, go and look up Margazzano Designs on Facebook today. Give them a like. If you need some type of custom gift, you got an idea of something you want that's custom made, something you can't find in the store, contact Margazzano Designs today. She has a wide range of things that she can do, or maybe there's something that she has made that is for sale you want to buy. So go to Margazzano Designs on Facebook, and you check them out today. Thank you to Arbasol Shave once again. Thank you to Arbasol for joining us this year in 2022. They've been with us all 6 years now. They've been with us since the very, very beginning. And I appreciate them and thank them. Without them, we wouldn't have awesome Barbershop Shave phone line, which you, the listener, can throughout the show. It's open all hours. 657-383-1903 is the number to call if you ever want to in on the conversation with Christina and I, what's during Talking Dirty or NASCAR, or maybe there's another subject that you want to talk about, playing person. I don't know, whatever. The phone lines are open the entire show, and that is when our guests call in. Well, Eric, here in a few minutes. I use our Barbasol Shave phone lines as well. So thank you to Barbasol for that. Let's jump right to it.
Home was a place to go. Load a truck up, hit the dirt road. Jump the barbed wire, spread the word. Light the bonfire and call the girl.
All right.
Bring in the can and the Marlboro man. Jack and Jim were a few good men. We learned how to kiss and
cuff the ball
too. Better watch out for the boys in blue and all this small
talking dirty. Send it by Racer Chicken Apparel. Be sure to go to racersapparel.com today and check out their great line of apparel there so that you are looking smooth at the racetrack this year. I'm joined now by my co-host, Christina. Good evening, Christina.
Hello, hello, hello.
I just wanted to apologize to you and everybody else. If I sound a little funny tonight, I woke up yesterday with a killer sore throat. Still got it. I think it's my sinuses. They should be all messed up. So if I sound a little off, I apologize. It's just my sinuses. It's not the equipment tonight. It's the operator tonight. So I'm gonna do my best to get through this 2 hours, and hopefully by the by 2 o'clock, I still have a voice. So we'll
it'll be okay. I can always vent by the end of the show.
Yeah, we might just end on that. But no, we got quite a bit, Karina. We got a lot to talk about. And Talking Dirty, the World of Outlaws were all over the place this past weekend, and the late models and sprint cars. We'll get to the sprint cars in a little bit because there's more to talk about with. We'll do late models first. And we'll do the late models. And we've got Big E. We've got Eric Sedorf coming on the show, Christina, from Lernerville. We're going to talk to him. We're going to see what's in store for the fans of Lernerville for the season. Then looks like they've got some big name shows that they do here back on tap for this year as well. So we'll find that out. And, of course I've got NASCAR. They were the first road course of the year. We'll talk about that for a minute. I know. It was a little painful. We'll get to that, though. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the end race. Because now we're both going to talk about that, and I'm pretty sure we'll lead us into the penalty box for this week. And so, like I said, we've got a lot to talk about tonight. So go ahead and get to it. Let's start with the World of Outlaw Case Construction. Late models, you know, they were down there and South Carolina at Cherokee Speedway for Tays. They actually got some race off. They were not able to race in Louisiana a couple weekends ago due to some pretty nasty weather. But it seems like this weekend in California and South Carolina, we were able to get some racing off. And Friday, we had their South Carolina in his own get the win, Christina. They showed the World of Outlaws how they do down there in Cherokee Speedway at the Rock Gulch Memorial Race. It all starts Friday, and we had Mr. Michael Bill Brown. I'm going to assume that the local driver probably to that track from South Carolina, he got the win. He beat Ryan Gustin and Max Blair. And then we had Brent Larson, who got the Charger. Didn't quite make the top 10, but he moved up in spots. So he improved his starting spot by a lot. But Michael Brown getting the win on there.
Yeah, the first time we really see anyone outlaw caliber was Max Blair. And then you see Dennis Erb Jr., who finished quite well. And then we don't see Brandon Shepherd till 6. But, I mean, it was a crazy night for them. And, I mean, why not? I like seeing the kids win. The guy, Michael Brown, is from, I believe, Lancaster. Let me double check here. I'm pretty sure it's Lancaster, South Carolina. Let's see. Yeah, Lancaster, South Carolina. That's where he's from. It's usually upsets are only in college basketball at this time of the year, but we saw the upset on Friday night, seeing those guys get it won, and that's what it's about. I told you some point along the line, these local guys are going to show these World of Outlaw drivers up.
Well, they definitely did this past when they're at Cherokee Speedway down there in South Carolina, the low guys getting it done and showing outlaws how to do it. But and then we come back, Christina, on Saturday, and there we see the World of Outlaws. They show Saturday for the big money, and they get the win there as Max Blair bounces back, stays on the podium, but he's atop the podium this time. He beats out Ross Bales and Dalton Wilson. Ross is from South Carolina. Dalton Wilson is from North Carolina. Angston Ferguson gets the Hard Charge Award again, just missing the top 10, but moved up 13 spots. To almost get to that top 10.
Yeah, the guy from Pennsylvania was your winner. why not? That's what it's about, these guys. I like it. I like seeing these people, these drivers, these guys, these gals, they work really hard at what they're doing, and they finally got some racing action in, and, he didn't get the win on Friday. He showed them all up and was like, "Well, let me tell you what Pennsylvania is all about for late model racing." So that's what he did. It's great. I mean, this is what you look for, because yet again, Hudson O'Neill finished fourth. Granted, he's not an outlaw driver. He's a Lucas Oil late model driver. And Dennis Erb Jr. Where do we see an outlaw driver? Where? 12th. That's where. That's the craziest thing, and that was Brandon Shepherd. So there's a lot going on in these case construction late models, and most of the time it has nothing to do with a guy running full-time in the series.
Right. Max Blair, that's his first win of the year in World of Outlaw case construction model series as well. And looking at the points after this past weekend, is really, we're 8 races in to the World of Outlaw Case Construct season, points paying season, Chris. And Bruce Shepherd he still finds himself in second, still has to find the top of that podium. He's chasing down Dennis Erb right now. He's down 30 points to him, but Dennis Erb is really. He's the Mr. Consistency of the Ace Construction model so far. He's got 7 tops out of the first 8 races and a win. It's a little better than Mr. Brandon Shepherd so far.
I mean, the season is very young and it's very fresh. So I don't foresee, no offense to these other guys, because I would love to see it happen and see, Brandon Shepherd not win this series this year. So I hope they, you know, do this and get that all bit. But, you know, that's what's great about this series. A lot of new faces, young faces, older faces, and we'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, definitely to see how the season progresses. It has just started the World of Case Construction late model season, and they're getting back underway again this week. Christina, Friday and Saturday, April 2nd, is the Illini 100 in Farmer City, Illinois, for the Farmer City at the Farmer City Raceway for the Illini 100. That is coming up this weekend, Christina. It should be a pretty good show there. And then we have a two-day event coming up later in April. This is all before the big one down at Bristol. We have another two-day show at Atomic Speedway with the Owl Invasion. Friday and Saturday, April 22nd and 23rd, the World of Outlaw Case Construction Models will invade Ohio for that weekend. But this one, we've got the Illini 100. I'm sure we're going to see a lot of great talent again that race as well.
I can't wait. And mind you, they've already started racing on dirt in Bristol this past weekend. So,
yeah.
I mean, we saw a familiar driver win there too. So, I mean, I just love late model racing. It's literally the greatest time of the year for me. It's like Christmas. Granted, y'all getting that snow all the time right now is putting a damper on everything. We'll talk about why we haven't really had some local tracks run up where I'm from because, well, Mother Nature decides she wants the snow every weekend now again. So,
yeah, we're not going to talk about that.
No, but, I mean, I'm excited. This is great. The Illini 100 is an amazing event. All these events are amazing. It's great to see all this racing back. And, I mean, man, I missed it for real. That one year was a bit rough for all of us.
Yeah, and actually, the next two Outlaw events, we should see a lot of model talent. Yeah, because the Lucas Oil late model, they are off until till April 8th, 9th, and 10th. They'll be making a little A-swing kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be at Tyler County Speedway, they'll be at Hagerstown Speedway, and they'll be at Royal Friday.
Remember, Hagerstown is in Maryland for those folks that want to be good with geography and why they're in PA Speed Week. I still never understand, but that's for a later
right.
show. I know, but we don't have time. I can't. I digress. I have to behave for at least an hour.
Yes, Hagerstown is in Maryland. The Lucas Oil 8 that is their next three races. And their schedule is clear for the next two big events at Illinois. At the Farmer City Raceway and at Atomic. So if you live close to either one of those tracks, you'll get this all these guys running. And the same with Lucas Oil late model schedule. County Speedway, Haytown Speedway, Port Royal Speedway. I'm sure we're going to see some outlaw guys at Hagerstown and Port Royal running with those oil guys for sure.
Oh, I'm sure of it. I just like seeing them all run together because it's pure chaos, mayhem, and tempers flare. That's the best kind of racing. And somebody's feelings always get hurt.
Well, you know you got to put your feelings, you got to leave those in Miller. You can't you can't be bringing those out with you. You got to leave those packed away.
We should probably tell some well, – I digress. We'll talk about that later.
Oof. that's late model action. Really haven't too much Lucas Oil late model. They raced last Sunday at Atomic. We talked about that. That was a pretty good race for the Buckeye Spring 50. Other than that, just April 8th, 9th, and 10th. For the Lucas Oil guys, of course, like I said, the World of Outlaw late models coming up April 1st and 2nd at Merced City Raceway. It should be pretty good racing thing. Back to the driver points for the World of Outlaws. I mentioned we had Dennis Earth. He is sitting in first ahead of Brandon Shep. And there you find Matt Blair in third with that win. You got Tyler Bruni in fourth, Hudson O'Neill fifth. He's only competed in Outlaw event though right now. Of course, he'll be making that transition once Lucas Oil goes full-time. Tanner Lish sixth, Josh Rich seventh, Brent Lipson eighth, Kyle Hammer ninth, and Boom Briggs round out the top 10 in the world of Case Construction model point schema.
Still best late model name known to mankind with Boom Briggs there. But no, they're, it's very early yet. I think we've only seen a couple races. I look for everything to heat up, shake up, and become really tight soon. I mean, we're going to talk about how tight it got in the sprint cars here in a little bit. But, man, I mean, it's racing season. That's the best part of the year. You know, beating, banging, dirt flying. If you ain't got a drink in your hand and some dirt in your beer can, there's something wrong. Unless you live in Florida and then you got sand in your beer can. But either way, it still works because, I mean, as long as you're seeing some racing, it all works out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Speaking of labels, speaking of dirt track, we have Big E at Westendorf coming on the show here in just a few minutes. He's going to be talking to us in Lunderville. Every year, Lunderville has a big late model race event, Christina Day event. This year, 16th annual Firecracker 100 weekend features the Lucas late model. Also racing that weekend is the Bill Emig Memorial the Rush late. So we'll see the Rush models there as well as the Lucas Oil late. So if you are a late model fan, Christina, I know you're not. I know you don't care late models. but June 24th and 25th, that's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, pull your calendar, make plans, reservations made, get your vacation from work because that's going to be the weekend that you want to go to see some late model action. And of course, we will talk to Eric about that in a little bit. Christina, that's an event that I have on my bucket list that I would that I'm waiting to go to. I can't wait.
Everybody needs to go to them.
It might not happen this year again, but
what's wrong with you? Why are you always putting the late models off? You always put the late models off.
It's on my thing to do list.
Mm-hmm. You better get it done then.
Uh-huh. Well, we'll see. Now that my schedule has changed this year, it's going to be hard for me to get to Lunderville because they run on Friday night. If you want to go to a Lunderville real race, they run on Friday night.
I'll never know. Good.
I know. I could be sick a day. I'm going to half sick for a day in order to, to go up there.
Or 2 days, considering you work every other Saturday. Just make sure you pick the Friday.
Off.
Yes, exactly. Pick the Saturday you're off to be sick on Friday.
Yeah, don't
that way,
think
doesn't
I have
suspicious.
Mm-hmm. Well, Christina, let's go ahead and take a quick commercial, and then when we come back on the other side of the break, we will talk to Big E of Learner. He is here with us. He's in the green room. We're getting him prepped and ready to come. The air. We'll bring him on as soon as we take a commercial break. And after we're done talking to Big E, we will bring Christina back. We'll finish talk about the world about sprint cars and NASCAR and the penalty box is still coming up yet. So don't go anywhere. Keep it tuned right here to the Slick Six Radio Network. Be right back.
357 Woodworks is a high-end quality, handcrafted small wood shop. They specialize in butcher blocks, breadboards, and kitchen and dining room tables. You can order anything from home decor to any custom order at 357 Woodworks. 357 Woodworks is located in Canton, Ohio, and can be contacted at 330-316-7847. You can follow them or even contact them on Facebook at 357 Woodworks, and you can connect with them on Instagram at 357 Woodworks. Be sure to mention Fastlane Sports Show when placing an order to get 10% off your order. Again, you can reach them at 330-316-7847.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Pete. This is the Flame Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fishing Game. Be sure to go to hardcorefishinggame.com today and check out the great deals that they have online over there, plus some of the custom order apparel that you can get from them. Also, shout out to 357 Woodworks. You heard that commercial there, sponsoring our studio. They are also our traveling sponsor, of course. We always take 357 Woodworks with us when we go to the small town short tracks like those of Lernerville. And speaking of Lernerville, we've got Mr. Eric Westendorf with us tonight, joining us on the Barbastall Shave phone lines. Good evening, Eric. How are you doing?
I'm doing better than Chris Rock last night, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, he's got some fresh prints on his face this morning, I heard.
Yeah, I think that was the Philadelphia Will, not the Bel Air Will last night. But I was actually watching college basketball and went to bed before that happened. But obviously, it's been all over social media. But you know, kind of feel like that today. It's, you know, we're supposed to have opening night Friday night, and it's 28 degrees here, and there's snow on the ground. So I don't know if opening night's going to happen or not, but we're going to give it a try.
Yeah. It's going to be, Mother Nature kind of the curveball there. A couple week ago, it was, 7 degrees, especially around here it was. We had just this weekend, I think it was last Wednesday or Thursday, I went to work, we had tornado warnings all over the place, and then wake up Monday morning to, an inch of snow. It's crazy. I think Mother Nature's confused. I don't know what she's thinking, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but you know, like I said, we do everything we can, you know, to be ready to go, and you know, we know that it's a risk trying to run races here in Western Pennsylvania in the middle of March and the beginning of April, but for the most part, you know, for about the last 10 years, we've been starting, opening night's been about the third week of April, and you know, the weather's been, you know, good this time of year up until this year. So we, you know, took a chance and moved everything up a few weeks. And I tried to talk them into, the Thompson family that owns the track now and our general manager, Mike Lysakowski, when we're going over the schedule in the off season. And I tried to sell them on going back to the last Friday in March, but they talked me out of it. And thankfully, you know, that we only lost the testing tune last Friday night and not opening night. But man, if we could have had opening night 2 weeks ago, when we ran a test and tune, probably would have been great, because you know, I was at the March Madness games at Pittsburgh, so I would have had a tough decision. It was easy to miss a test and tune. I don't think they'd have been very happy if I'd have missed opening night. So
right.
The weather that night was fantastic. It's one of the biggest crowds we've had for a test and tune, because the weather was beautiful and you know, the grandstands were open and free. But you know, we've obviously taken a couple steps back weather-wise, and, you know, the track's in good shape, ready to go. We just, you know, need it to warm up, and, you know, a combination of warming up and staying dry, you know, Wednesday and Thursday. So, you know, we'll keep an eye on the forecast, and, you know, if we're able to race on Friday, we'll do it. If the track is not going to be conducive to, you know, keeping the driver safe. And I've talked about that the last few years. There's nothing more important to us than our driver safety. You know, we want to put on a great show and we want to run shows as much as possible, but, you know, we won't jeopardize our driver safety to do that. So we'll keep an eye on the weather and the track conditions. And, you know, if we can run on April 1st, we will. If not, we'll try again on April 8th.
Hopefully, if you have to cancel, though, people don't think it's an April Fool's joke.
There's always a risk of that. Yeah, I had some people actually ask when we put it on opening night. It's like, is that real? We haven't started that early in a long time. And I said, no, I've been trying. And, you know, last year was our schedule was a little bit different because we, you know, experimented and rolled the dice on, you know, that COVID year in 2020. You know, we usually end our season on, you know, Labor Day weekend or the Friday before Labor Day weekend. Because we know that once high school football starts, our crowd, our staff is cut in half. We have a lot of, you know, high school kids that work in the concession stands and on the grounds. And my son plays high school football. So, you know, we know when high school football starts, you know, whether it's to the football team or the band, because we have a lot of, you know, kids and family that play in the band and cheerleading as well, that it's just a tough sell, you know, here, just I'm sure like it is in Ohio. You know, high school football is a religion. And, you know, we rolled the dice during that COVID year when nobody could be in the stands, and it worked out really well. So we wanted to find out last year if, you know, maybe things had changed and we could go up against high school football. And, you know, we learned the hard way a little bit that that's still the case. High school football still reigns supreme, especially when, you know, fans didn't have the chance to go in 2020. They did go in 2021. And, you know, our crowds weren't great those Friday nights, and we knew that there was a chance that was going to happen. But, you know, we keep trying different things with the schedule and tweaking, and up until this year, nothing major. And obviously, we rolled the dice on, you know, a big change for 2022, and some good, some bad with that. But, you know, instead of running a little bit later this year like we did in 2021, we're going to start a little bit earlier. And
yeah, we hope so. Real quick, maybe for some listeners on the show that haven't heard you on our show before, for maybe a little quick history on the track and maybe how you became voice of Lernerville, whether on doing show ours or the podcast you guys do, or when people come to watch, they might hear you on the PA system there calling the race. You know, we'll talk about it here in just a few minutes, but every year out of the Don Martin Memorial Race. So why is that race so important to Lernerville, and how did you become the voice of Lernerville?
So unfortunately I came to the position of being the track announcer through tragedy. Our announcer passed away very unexpectedly on what was supposed to be a race night. And I think it was April of 2016. We rained out that night, and our announcer, Dow Carnahan, lived out in the Latrobe area. Probably, you know, I'm sure a lot of fans are aware of Latrobe because it's where the Steelers have usually do their preseason or their training camp out at St. Vincent College. So Dow was from out that direction. And we rained out that Friday night, and he went to a movie theater by himself. His longtime partner, they never got married, but she had passed away the year before, and you know, he went to the movies by himself that night, and you know, tragically died of a heart attack there. You know, they went in to clean up the theater afterwards and found him in his chair, and I kind of got cast into that position temporarily until they found somebody, and you know, they kind of liked, you know, what I did. It was a little bit different than Dow. You know, it would be kind of like replacing, you know, John Madden or Howard Cosell. I mean, there's just some, you know, even Mike Lang with the Penguins, there's just some legendary announcers that nobody can fill those shoes. So I didn't try. I just, you know, try to do things my own way. And I'm an educator by, you know, trade. So I try to teach the fans, because every Friday night we have new people in the stands that have never been there before. So, you know, the people that are every Friday night know what the divisions are. They know who our drivers are. They know what hot lap, the heat race, and the feature means. But every Friday night, there's people in the stands that don't. So I try to balance, you know, educating the fans and entertaining the fans. And, you know, I just try to go out and, you know, have fun with it and call it and make some jokes and, you know, bring some excitement to it. And you just – the timing of it worked out well. I mean, obviously, you know, I would still rather, you know, if I had my choice, I would rather be the PR guy if I could trade that in and have Dow there on Friday nights. But life doesn't work that way, so you have to adjust to the situation. And I have four boys that all play sports, so I'm not quite as busy as I used to be through the week, and that kind of ebbs and flows. I've been pretty busy the last couple of years since we've launched Lernerville TV. because it's a pretty big project that I've taken on, and I'm pretty close, I think, to handing the torch off to a new gentleman that we hired. So hopefully I'll have a little bit more free time at some point this year than I've had the last couple of years. But one of those things where I grew up at the track, and, you know, one of my best friends, Gary Risch, ended up running the track, and we had a conversation, and he brought me on board. And like I said, Dow passed away, and I, you know, jumped in to fill in and ended up being the permanent announcer. So, the Silver Cup is, you know, like I said, always one of my favorite nights. It's, you know, one of the biggest nights on our schedule, because it is, you know, Memorial Race for Don Martin, who founded the track. And it's going to be a little bit different this year. As I said, we made what we thought was going to be one big change to our schedule, and that was turning the Firecracker 100 weekend from a World of Outlaws late model race to a Lucas Oil race. And, you know, the end result in that was we ended up losing the World of Outlaws sanctioning for the sprint car races. So, thankfully, you know, Tony Stewart and, you know, all the folks from the All-Stars stepped up, and, you know, they were more than willing, you know, to sanction that race. It'll be one of the biggest races on their schedule, along with the Tuscarora weekend. And it's great format, and we haven't had, just because of circumstances the last 2 years, we haven't had the All-Stars at the track since 2019. So they're on the schedule for our regular spring race, so they'll be there on Friday, April 29th, and then sanctioning the Don Martin Memorial Silver Cup. So it's been World of Outlaws sanctioned since it started, so that'll be a pretty big change. It's a mixed reviews, you know, obviously, some adverse reactions from our fans, but, I think they realized we did the best we could in a difficult situation, and the All-Stars put on a great show. They've got some great young drivers. We're working on bringing in some other, you know, talented drivers from the region and across the country that, that may not have been able to be there, or, you know, didn't feel that they were able to compete with the Outlaws for that race. So we're hoping to get some more Central PA guys and some guys from Western Ohio, and then, you know, some of, you know, the other guys like Rico Abreu and Buddy Kofoid, you know, guys that may not necessarily be following tours, but, you know, go to the big paying races. So, we're going to do the best we can to make a great event like it always is. And, just looking forward to things being a little bit different. And, you know, it wasn't what we planned, but, you know, it was a business decision. We knew that was one of the options when we decided to go with Lucas for the Firecracker. We were hoping that wouldn't be the case. We were hoping that everything else would stay the same, but it just didn't work out that way. So, but Lucas being on the Firecracker, a lot of great response from that. Late model fans have been clamoring for that for a long time. And I think, you know, both series put on, you know, great races, Lucas and the Outlaws both, but, you know, the Firecracker has always been a great event, but making it a $50,000 to win race, courtesy of Big River Steel, who's, you know, been a partner of Lucas before, but to be able to do it in, you know, kind of the geographic footprint where they do a lot of business, made a lot of sense to them. They jumped on it right away. So, $50,000 to win for Lucas Oil is a big race for us. And then, you know, to have a $20,000 to win support division that weekend is pretty awesome as well. So, last few years it's been $30,000 for the Outlaws and $10,000 for Rush. This year, Vicky Emig and her family have, you know, stepped up and made her dad's memorial race a $20,000 to win race. So that's going to be a huge weekend. A lot of money on the line. The best late models in the country, both, you know, the open engines and the crate engines. It's always a busy weekend. It's a lot of work, a lot of fan interaction. So a lot goes into that. But 16th time we've run it and first time under Lucas. So it'll be a little bit different, but it's still going to be a great event.
Yeah, and we all know. I might find a late model to show up for that kind of money. We all know how hard 2020 is. Obviously, it's a toll on quite a few racetracks around the country. Lernerville was no exception. Just like, you know, we talked to Ryan Pearson from Wayne County a couple weeks ago. Talked to Charlie Vest a few months ago from Atomic Speedway. You have Billy Rebar on from Jennerstown quite a bit. You know, a lot of tracks around the country were trying to figure out how to stay open in 2020, what they could do, how to get racing in. Obviously, Little was in the same situation. Guys had some races stuff that you were able to run. How imperative was it to the track to bounce back last year in 2021 to prove to the fans that, hey, you know, 20 was just a hiccup. We're still here. We're strong as ever. Don't leave us. Racing still going good. And then, you know, to have the drivers and the series show up to Louisville last year, how important was that for you guys to show that you can and will and did bounce back from something that closed quite a few around the country?
Yeah, so we were actually really lucky. 2020 was actually, it was a late start because everything was going on, but it ended up being a really good season for us because, there wasn't a whole lot else that people could do. And because we were an open-air facility and because of the maximum capacity of our grandstands, we ran most of our shows at the regular capacity that we usually do. Our fans were super cooperative with the masking and, the temperature checks that we had to do in 2020. We had a lot of people who had never been to the tracks before for a variety of reasons come for the first time, and they kept coming back last year. So, 2020 wasn't, a bad season for us by any means. And, it obviously wasn't, a regular traditional season. I think we kind of started with the firecrackers. So to go right to one of your biggest events, NASCAR does it with the Daytona 500, but, usually we have a couple months worth of build up to it. I think we ran one Friday and then went right into the firecracker, and then the Silver Cup was a few weeks after that. But like I said, we ran further into October that year because even though high school football was going on, fans couldn't go other than, depending on the school, a parent or two. But, our fans, the sign is still outside the main gates. The finest race fans passed through these gates, and, they really proved it in 2020, and they supported us. And like I said, they were super, understanding and cooperative with the mandates that we asked them to follow through with to ensure that we were able to stay open. We worked with local, state, and county officials, to make sure that we did it the right way and the safe way. And we were able to, back down some of those restrictions last year. And, we still did ask people to wear masks through the gates last year once they got in. We relaxed that, but we did require them to have a mask coming in. And but obviously this year, at least as the way it looks now, that mask restriction will be gone. But we actually gained, some fans through that. And then having Learnerville TV, for the first time, we were already down that path to have our own live stream, before the pandemic hit. But that gave a lot of people who weren't comfortable coming out into large crowds an opportunity to continue to watch the show. And, what we've been able to put together with our partnership with Speed Sport TV to have our own platform. And, we've expanded to that for this year. Like I said, we hired a gentleman that's going to, oversee race night operations so that I can focus on, my rosters and being a better announcer and just worrying, about, my product instead of keeping an eye on the live stream and kind of, managing a 3 or 4 person team while I'm trying to call races. It got to be a lot last year. We've also added, some other cameras. So we're looking, we had an infield pit reporter last year for the first time. This year we bought some new equipment and an additional camera. So we're going to have a camera in the infield with the pit reporter to get some different angles and some close-ups in victory lane. So keep investing more and more, money and resources into Learnerville TV and, having that product out there. And, there's times where, I look out in the stands and, people have, they're watching on their phone, while they're sitting in the stands. So, like if they miss something, because, it's a big track. So if you're watching a battle for the lead and, there's an accident in the back or a big pass you didn't see, there's enough of a delay on that live stream where, if you miss something, you can go and, take a look at it on your phone. And, we have TVs and all those concession stands. So, that has kind of helped, the lines to concession stands are not as long as they used to be because, people don't feel like they have to wait between races. They know that they can watch the race on the TV while they're in line. So it's really had some, neat effects. And, we have drivers in the pits that are, watching the race and they can see how the track evolves over the course of the night through it. So it's really been a great opportunity, for us. And you know, even to broadcast to fans all over the country. We have subscribers from like South Africa and Australia to watch every week. It's just, it's been really neat. So, you know, COVID was actually, you know, pretty decent to us, all things considered, and, you know, looking forward to just continuing to build on that in 2022.
Nice. Yeah. That's, you don't see many tracks even, you know, it's online all the time. You know, the track signs outside that there gets, you know, no live filming or no live broadcasting. The track, it's neat that not only do you guys not care, you have your own TV. So, you know, every weekend you guys are broadcasting the races yourselves. Obviously, there's a subscription that, you know, people can get on to get that. But still, that's pretty neat that you guys allow something like that. Talking to Eric Westendorf, he is also known as B from Lernerville Speedway. He's joining us tonight on the Barbastall Shape phone lines. Eric, I was going through your guys' website a little bit ago, and I know that a lot of the track sponsors you guys have had for a while are back again this year as well. So how important is that to a racetrack like you guys to sponsors back each every year and even maybe attract some new ones?
I mean, we literally couldn't do what we do on a Friday night without those sponsors. And to have the same sponsors back for the better part of a decade is, you know, really remarkable. And I really believe that one of the main reasons is, you know, we don't just take money from these, you know, companies. So, you know, we work with them. People's Natural Gas, for example. I started that, you know, at that point I was running the website, and we actually had, it was somebody from, it was actually T.W. Phillips had just recently been purchased by People's Natural Gas. T.W. Phillips was a family-owned gas company headquartered out of Butler, which is just right up the road from the track. They had just been bought out by People's Natural Gas, which is a much larger regional conglomerate. And, you know, she was kind of tasked with, you know, finding a way to, you know, promote the new acquisition. And, you know, she had grown up at the track, and she had asked in an email of, you know, what opportunities were available. You know, I called right away and, you know, said, you know, I'll be more than happy to send you all the information, but I wanted to call and explain a couple things. And, you know, it started out with, it was just the timing was right. So at that point, TI-22 was our presenting sponsor of the sprint car division, and they were kind of changing some things on their end. And were, you know, it was their last season, you know, sponsoring the division. So that opportunity was open, and people jumped on it right away. And, you know, here we are 10, 12 years later. You know, we've done multiple Dollar Energy Fund auctions. So, you know, being involved in the community, the Dollar Energy Fund provides resources not only to pay customers' gas bills, but to repair or replace furnaces for the underprivileged. So, you know, we raised thousands of dollars, you know, through, you know, auctions for 2 or 3 years. And, you know, because of COVID, you know, that kind of went away. And but, you know, we continue to work with them through different, you know, they were involved with the food bank that was, you know, through COVID, they ended up started using our parking lot for distribution because they needed to do something outside instead of having people come into their building. So they started using our parking lot for people to pick up food, and People's has been involved with that for a long time. They did some capital improvements and put in a set of aluminum bleachers right in front of our press box and helped, you know, put asphalt from the gate to there so that to expand our handicap seating area and to make the easement into that area, you know, more conducive for people in wheelchairs. So they've just been a great partner, but, you know, we give back and, you know, we match things with them, and, you know, that goes a long way. So, I mean, obviously Precise Racing Products, our drivers, you know, keep them coming back because they have a parts trailer, and between, you know, the fuel and the tires and the parts, I mean, that's just a natural relationship there. Deal Automotive has been with us for a long time with our modifieds. Our former general manager, Gary Rich, actually works for Deal now. So, you know, that's a partnership they're still vested in. And Millerstown Pick Apart, they're the Pro Stock Division sponsor. Their family has, Michael Norris is part of that family. So just a lot of people that are really involved in racing. But we work with them well, and it's not just us taking money. It's truly a partnership. And, we talk about it on the podcast. We make sure that, our fans, when they go to those facilities, tell them, how much they appreciate it. Because, it's got to be a give and take. And our track champion for the fifth time last year, AJ Flick, some of our other, veteran drivers like Brian Schwarzenegger have always done such a great job with their sponsors and truly making it a marketing partnership by giving back and going to events with them and, always, showcasing and highlighting the sponsors, and that's how you keep them from year to year. So I really took a lot of those cues from Brian Schwarzenegger and Lynn Geisler with Number One Cochran for a long time, just kind of learning from them that it's got to be a give and take. You've got to be a brand ambassador for them. You can't just take their money and expect them to keep giving you money. They need to see a return on that investment. So, we've really, focused on that for the last 10 years and they keep coming back. So, the Marburger Farm Dairy has been the presenting sponsor of our weekly racing program the last few years. They were more than willing to jump on that because previously it was one of their rival dairy farms, in the area where they were competitive with their milk and their iced tea, and they had a change in management at that facility, and they went away from sponsoring the racetrack, so Marburger jumped on in a heartbeat. So they've been great marketing partners. Terry Bowser Excavating has been with the track. Terry used to race sprint cars for a long time. His son Carl still races. All the clay that you see on our track at one point in the last 10 years has been brought in on trucks that Terry Bowser owns. His excavating equipment digs it up, puts it in the truck, and brings it to the track. So just great, great partners that make it all possible. And, again, it all comes back to, they see a return on the investment because we value what they do to the track.
Oh, absolutely. Like we talked to Ryan Pearson a couple weeks ago from Wayne County Speedway. Learner was another one of those tracks that you don't see the owners just taking the money and putting it in their account. They put the money back into the track just for, like you mentioned, they go driver safety, but also fan interaction and fan safety and making the whole fan experience even much better. In fact, looking at our schedule, there's quite a few weekends we can look on and see that, how family oriented and fan friendly this racetrack really is. One of those nights I'm looking at the first, it looks to me like first fan appreciation type of night would be June 10th on a regular four racing night. We have fireworks. It is the fan appreciation night. So, how important was it for Lernerville to do stuff like that? Because you look at your schedule, and it's just jam-packed week after week, and there's so many base event nights that people can go to throw a firework night in there. Just, how you don't have just thousands and thousands and thousands of people every weekend, if you didn't, I would be questioning how, because your guys' schedule is just amazing. And this fireworks, is this the first time for you guys doing fireworks next night, or is this something you've been doing yearly?
This has been something that this goes the whole way back to when Don Martin, ran the track and he passed away in 92, 93. So, this has been on our schedule for at least 30, if not, 40 years. And, Rob Cochran and, Jack Crow, who has been a brand ambassador. He was a commercial truck guy for Number One Cochran, and he still does consulting work for Cochran. But, again, it comes back to, and Number One Cochran has been with Lernerville Speedway for more than 50 years now. They provide our pace truck. They've done this fireworks night every year for as long as I can remember. And, again, it's, even, five decades ago, they saw the value in, you know, doing it on a night where there's a bunch of families there, because every family needs a car. And I can't tell you how many people over the 15 years that I've worked at the track, because at that point, number one Cochran was pretty much in Monroeville. They had a place in Robinson Township, which is out by the airport. Now they have dealerships all over the region. But at that point, I can't tell you how many people over the years have told me they drove to Monroeville every time they needed to buy a car because of the relationship with Lernerville Speedway. And, you know, they always wanted to, you know, show their fans appreciation. And Lynn Geisler's car is always on display that night. And, you know, one of my favorite stories is, you know, I grew up sitting down in turn one, and every year on fireworks night, I'd go down and grab one of those number one Cochran decals off of Lynn's car, and I'd put it on the railing beside where I sit, you know, to kind of save my seat for next week. And every year within 2 or 3 weeks, that number one Cochran decal was painted over in yellow, because whoever, you know, maintained the facility at that point didn't want to see that. They wanted the railing yellow. So, you know, even you go down there now where by where I used to sit growing up, there's probably, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 number one Cochran decals stacked on top of each other with layers and layers of that yellow paint. But it's just that, you know, that branding. I mean, number one Cochran is synonymous with Lernerville Speedway and vice versa. Last year, for the first time, not only did they provide the pace truck, they also provided the safety truck. So we had an F-150 and a Ram as our two trucks. They have it's called the Allegheny Valley Mega Center. It's about 10 minutes from our track. They have a Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram store there, and they also have a Ford showroom there. So we had one truck from each manufacturer, and they're doing the same thing this year. So just great marketing partners. Rob Cochran still comes on fireworks night, brings his family. I was actually I had just stepped out of the booth for a minute last year when Rob came in, and this, I don't know, it was probably a $75,000-$80,000 Audi. And he comes walking up and, you know, shook my hand, asked how I'm doing. I said, I'd be doing a whole lot better if I could take that Audi out on the track during, you know, the parade of cars. And he tossed me the keys. He said, go for it. I'm like, I'm not taking that thing out on that racetrack. Are you kidding me? But, I mean, that's just the kind of, you know, person Rob is, that, you know, it's a car. You know, it's more about the experience. It's more about, you know, showing fans that appreciation. And, you know, all these decades later, I mean, the guy is a multimillionaire, but he still comes out and brings his wife and kids. And the kids are, you know, college age, high school age now. So, you know, they're not young kids anymore, but they still come out for that night themselves, just because of how important it is to their company.
Yeah. We are talking with Eric Westendorf of Lernerville Speedway. We appreciate you coming on tonight, Eric. And real quick before we let you go, everybody can go to Lernerville.com and check out all the information they need to know about Lernerville Speedway and Starver PA. But also, you can find the schedule on there. Real quick, Eric, just to point out now a couple dates. We got April 29th, the All-Stars will be there at Lernerville. June 10th, we talked about appreciation and fire night. June 23rd through the 25th, that's the big 16th annual Firecracker 100 weekend featuring Lucas Oil late model and the Memorial for the Rush late models. We've got J6th, that's the Don Burt Memorial Serial 31 31st of running that race. And then all at the end of October, middle of October, we've got the Phoenix annual Steel City Stampede weekend, October 13th through the 15th. Those are just updates, Eric, on the schedule. Just like I said, this schedule is packed with so many big events and big night. It's people have so many opportunities to come out. There's so many other special event nights throughout the year. We don't have time to talk about all of them tonight. But those are just a few of the big ones. Like I mentioned, that 14th annual Steel City Stampede, that wrapped the race at Lernerville. Concerts, camping, so much to do for the fans. That's got to be exciting for you guys to get through the offseason and to know that you're starting a new season and to look at this schedule. You guys have to look at this schedule and go, it's going to be, you know, I'm looking at the beginning of June, I'm already wore out. you guys got to do this through October.
Yeah, it always seems like, you know, there's so much build up to the firecracker and the Don Martin Memorial, and we had to, you know, because of, you know, the scheduling, the World of Outlaws, you know, walked away from the event, unfortunately, and, you know, the All-Stars jumped on it, but their schedule is obviously a little bit different, so it's about 2 weeks earlier than it normally is. So we usually have this big build up to the firecracker, and then we have kind of 2 weeks to recover until the Silver Cup. Well, now it's about 10 days apart, so but it always feels like, you know, we're, you know, we get to those events and then like the season is all downhill until the Steel City Stampede. But, you know, and we do have a lot of those great events. And like I said, the Silver Cup has always been my favorite night of the summer. But, you know, the proudest thing and, you know, what we really hang our hat on is, you know, we still feel that we have the best weekly program in the country. Port Royal, you know, had an event a couple weeks ago because of a rainout where they ran a sprint, you know, 410 sprint, super late models and modifieds on the same race. And it was kind of like a mini, you know, world finals. And I wasn't listening on Flow Racing. I tuned in a little bit later, but I, you know, one of the guys on Flow Racing said, you know, this is a great event for us, but this is what they do every Friday night at Lernerville. So to have three headlining divisions is, you know, it's just, it's unheard of. Like I said, it's the world finals at Charlotte every year. But for us, it's every Friday night, and, you know, we're really proud of that. And we do, you know, unfortunately, the downside to having three headlining divisions is we can't pay any of those three divisions what other tracks are paying when there's only one or two headlining divisions. But we once again had a 5% purse increase, you know, across the entire, you know, from first to last in every race. So, you know, we're trying to, you know, slowly but surely step that up, even with the cost of everything increasing this year. You know, we felt it was the right thing to do to help out our drivers because the cost of gas obviously is just astronomical. The cost of parts keeps going up because the demand for it is a lot higher than the supply. So, you know, 5%, you know, probably isn't enough, you know, to help, but, you know, every little bit helps. So, and that's the second time in, I think, 3 years that we've been able to do that. So hopefully we can keep doing that and making those incremental increases and keeping our guys on the track, because it just gets harder and harder for everybody to do that. But, you know, if you're able to, I know it's a long drive for some of your listeners, but if you're able to come out on a Friday night, it's definitely well worth your time and your money. Just fill up before you come across the PA border, because gas is cheaper in Ohio than it is in Pennsylvania. But if you can't make that drive, would love if you'd tune in to Lernerville.tv. If you go to LernervilleTV.com, it takes you to the same place, but you can watch any race that we have for $20 a night, or you can get an entire subscription for just $10 more. You can watch an entire month's worth of racing. So would love to have you at the track. And, you know, you mentioned Wayne County earlier, and I've made that trip a handful of times the last few summers, and it's such a badass little track. It's so much fun. So anytime the Outlaws or the All-Stars go, you know, I try to get out there, because it's, you know, it's a little boring. It's great racing. Our track's a good bit bigger than that, but you got a lot of great tracks out there with Fremont and Attica and Atomic, and, you know, anywhere you can support local racing, it's greatly appreciated. But if you're able to get to Lernerville, would love to have you. If not, Lernerville TV is a great option as well.
Yeah, and we're definitely going to try and get out there. My work schedule has changed for this year. Now I work Wednesday, Thursday, Fridays. You guys just run on Fridays, but there's a few opportunities I might have to make it. But everybody can go to Lernerville.com. You can click on schedule and check it out. Also, aside from your Friday shows, there's a few times throughout the summer that is free admission that people can go on a Tuesday night. If it's nice weather out, you don't have nothing to do on a Tuesday night, check out a test and tune that you guys do as well. It's neat that you do that for those that division as well. So, Eric, and I've taken up almost an hour of your time, but I appreciate you coming on and talking to us and giving us a little insight on what to look forward to with Lernerville this year. And hopefully you can make it out and see you guys.
Always be glad to have you, you and your fans both. So, you know, always appreciate the opportunity to come on and do a little preseason preview. And, you know, if we want to touch base, you know, around the Firecracker Silver Cup time too, to promote those events and, you know, do a little mid-season, you know, recap and preview, you know, let me know. Be glad to jump on. And, you know, once again, can't stress enough, get out and support your local racetracks. It's, it's going to be tough this year, but you know, if you don't want to see the sport go away, you need to get out somehow, some way, and support it. You guys got a lot of great racetracks out there too. Make sure that they're well supported.
Oh yeah, we try and promote as best we can. So, right, Eric, thank you. Have a good rest of your evening. Have a good week. Hopefully, you guys race this weekend, and if not, I'm sure we'll get you'll get the thing started soon. And hopefully, you guys have a great. We'll definitely have you on sometime around the beginning of June to preview those coming races and how it's been so far. So, thank you.
Thank you. Certainly appreciate it, and hope to talk to you soon.
All right, everybody, that was Eric Wittendorf, also better known as Big out there at Learnerville Speedway. They've become a good friend of the show. Love going out to Learnerville. If you've never been, you gotta go. And a big, big, beautiful track. The facility is great. The track is great. The racing is awesome. Hopefully, we can get out there and check out some racing at Learnerville. So thank you to Eric and them over there at Learnerville for being a good friend of the show and talking to us. We were going to take a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we will bring Christina on. We'll finish talking dirty. We'll also see what has gone on this past week in NASCAR. We also have the penalty box coming as well. So keep it tuned right here to the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. We'll be right back.
For nearly 100 years, Barbasol has remained the American standard and tradition in shaving. Generations of men and women have trusted Barbasol to look and feel their best during life's greatest moments. Today, Barbasol remains true to the principle of providing products at an honest value that deliver a close, comfortable shave with every use. Be sure to look for a can of Barbasol at your local supermarket or wherever shaving products are sold. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol.
You already know what time it is, man.
All right. Welcome back to the Fast Lane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fishing Game. Of course, I'm your host, Pete, and I'm joined back now by my co-host, Miss Christina. Christina, always awesome to talk to Eric over there at Learnerville Speedway. Great guy. Fun time over there. Check out learnerville.com to check out their schedule. Literally, Christina, it seems like every single weekend is a big event going on at Learnerville. They have so much to do every weekend. I mean, you could make a month, you could one Friday month and check out a bit at Learnerville. That's how great it is.
Yeah, now if it wasn't just so far away.
Yeah, tell me about it. Even for me, it's a 3 hour, three and a half. I think it's about
That's
3 hour
right.
hour to drive.
It's nothing. Stop it.
Oh.
It's nothing compared to the drive I would have.
Well, yeah. You know, like I keep saying, as soon as that Flicks and Sticks jet gets fixed, you'll be able to fly. You won't have to drive. So.
I know. I might need to talk to Mr. Worldwide and see what's up with him.
You got to find them parts. Listen, them parts.
Yeah.
The World Outlaw NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars, Christina, they wrapped up their California swing. They're still kind of on the West Coast. They got Vegas, they got Nevada, they got, I think, Mexico. And then they start inching closer to the East Coast. But they wrapped up their California swing. They ran Bakersfield on Friday. And, Chris, we had another California kid get the victory there as Gio Scale gets the win. He beats out Corey Day. Uncle, I believe that's the 16-year-old. He ran just about all of the California race there with the Outlaws. And then Brad Sweet, he came in third. got that podium finish there. And then we had Miss Fadden get the hard reward for the top five with improving his position 17 spots to get in the top five, Christina. Pretty good night there for James, but a really good night for old Geos to getting two wins in California.
That's oh man, these teenagers. Let me tell you, there's something about them. They're crazy. And then you have the old man, aka Brad Sweet, 36 years old. Just so everybody's aware how old Brad Sweet is. He probably felt like an old man on that podium. And mind you, he's the shortest one too. California rained strong again, but I mean, you know, there was two races left in that swing, and then Saturday proved to be the other way around, sort of, as far as, you know, who podiumed. We still saw a familiar face, but I mean, what a crazy weekend to end sprint car racing. I'm glad they got both races in, competed that California swing, and got back into racing in California with the sprint cars. It's a great showing as to what happened. And, I mean, Saturday was fun. I mean, unless you're not a fan of Dave Gravel, then it probably sucks for you.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of threw a wrench in things for the California kids. We went to Paris Auto Speedway for the social showdown. And, yeah, mm-hmm. David Gravel. The wins in there. He's up the California run. They almost got the sweep. But David Gravel getting the win, beating again Corey Day and Carcito. So Gravel getting his second win of the season so far.
Mind you, that was a tough win. They had a junked car Friday night.
Yeah.
I mean, they junked it Friday night and they had to work that car together and ready. Now, mind you, they don't always have – it's not like NASCAR. You don't always have a backup car. I mean, sometimes you just got to try like hell to fix the car you got. I mean, it's crazy. You know, that's what it is, 24 hours, bounce back, and that's exactly what he needed. I told you guys, it wasn't going to be, you know, all fun and sunshine for all of California the whole time. You know, Cody Jacobs, who, mind you, is back with the team, Trey Bowman and Zach Peterson, Patterson, I'm sorry. They definitely finished and got the new car right before half lap done. That's the craziest part. And it was the 71st career win with the World of Outlaws.
Crazy. Yeah, he definitely great bounce back for David Gravel. It doesn't help that he was leading the points.
What?
He just didn't have the greatest time in California. It wasn't all sunshine and surfboards out there for David Gravel.
No, it wasn't. But he got a surfboard trophy, so maybe that made up for it. I mean, a little bit. But so now we got great races coming up. You know, what to watch. We have all kinds of, oh, man, the southern, western, southwest, Midwest swing that's coming up. It's going to be great. But, no, California did what it was needed to do, which was, A, shuffle the points quite a bit.
Yeah. Yes,
like,
it did.
I mean, a lot. A bit. Mind you, we also saw Brad Sweet didn't get a win.
I was just going to say, we had quite a few. Well, we had G. Scalzi get two wins. We had Carcito get a win. We had Kyle Larson get a win. But, yeah, Brad Sweet could not secure a win in the state. And Bill has yet to win in 22.
But, lucky for him, where does he sit in the points?
He takes over points lead in his home state.
Yes. Yes. Now, mind you, it has a little bit to do with the fact he podiumed on and, you know, very capitalizing on David Gravel's misfortune in California, which helps. And so did Carson Macedo. You know, spoiler alert, that's who's second in points now. And David Gravel went from leading the points to sitting third. That's what happens when you have a couple bad nights. That you kind of have a downfall in the points. But if we're counting points, we have what, a 12-point difference, if my math is still good, you know, in my head. I believe there's only 12 points separating Brad Sweet and David Gravel. So that's not a lot of points.
22.
Oh, my bad. I can't count. My bad.
But no, I mean, only 22 points. Yeah.
12, 22. I'm just trying to get the decimal. I was kind of trying to help David Gravel. Oh, oops. This is what happens with the lack of caffeine and stuff at this point in the day. But, you know, shit happens.
But, yeah, coming out of California, though, Christina, you know, we also see a few more drivers getting multiple wins now for 2022. Giovanni Scales there in fifth place. He has two wins on the year. Sheldon with two wins on the year. David Gravel getting his second win of the year. Carmesito at Mercedes picked up his second win of the year. So now we come out of California. With we went into California, Sheldon being the only one with multiple wins. We come out now with four drivers having two wins so far on the year. And we're still talking about Brad Sweet, but it is still early for him to win, obviously. But look at a few other guys that coming out of California have struggled a little bit. Obviously, Donnie Schott with the one win. He's down in seventh. Shark Racing seems to be struggling early as well. Christina Logan, too hard finding himself in eighth. Jacob Allen in 11th. So he's got some work to do as well. But, again, still early in the season.
It's very early. And we got to remember, folks, we have, what, I think 91 races somewhere in there.
Yeah.
This season alone for this series. So there's a lot of racing left. I mean, we can't hand over the championship to Bradley just yet. He's going to have to work for it. And all these other guys are going to have to work really hard to get up there and battle for him. And speaking of Shark Racing, it's been quite the opposite year for these guys. Whereas Jacob Allen has sometimes struggled early in seasons, he hasn't struggled nearly as much as, I almost said his brother, but they're not brothers. Logan, actually, which is the nephew to Jacob Allen, has struggled a little more, you know, with this season, and whereas you see Jacob Allen hasn't struggled nearly as much. So we have to keep an eye on this. It's going to be consistency is key. So, I mean, they're really going to need to keep it on the pedal. This is not a lot of off time. They race tomorrow. I mean, there literally is, they had Sunday and Monday to travel from California to Vado, North New Mexico. So they're going to be in New Mexico this Tuesday. Then they're going to Lawton, Oklahoma. And then they're going to the Devil's Bowl, which we all know is in Texas. It's a lot. You've got to put the past in the past, and you got to work on the future. There's no point in dwelling on these bad finishes. None of these teams should dwell on that. They need to take the good that came out of the last, you know, five races in California and build, because all these other tracks are going to be a lot different leading into it. You're not going to have all the same. So this is where it's going to be. Now you need to get in there, and bearing what happens, this is it. This is the last appearance by them in Texas this year, you know, bearing any kind of late last-minute decisions or additions to schedules. This will be the last time you get to see the World of Outlaws in Texas. So if you're in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, the races I just mentioned will be the last time you get to see them all year. How crazy is that already? They only been like six races in. 10. I don't know. Well, way more than 6, but you know what I mean. It'll be the last time you see him on this side. Unless you want to drive.
Craziness. Just crazy. We're excited for them to come east, though. We got the All-Stars. They'll be getting started up very shortly as well. So
yeah,
World of Outlaws finishing up, yeah, at Attica. World of Outlaws finished their California swing. They'll starting towards the east, and then that's where they'll run the majority of their season. Of course, they have a few races sprinkled in, and the Dakotas and Missouri, Oklahoma, that. But,
and then they go to Tennessee.
and Tennessee, if you want to call that out of state.
It is. Oh, stop it. You know, I look forward to Bristol because if I'm not mistaken, isn't Bristol, is that Easter weekend?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Oh, that's oh, that's even better. Easter weekend. Ooh. Mm.
Yeah, speaking of, we might as well segue right into it.
Oh, yeah, we might as well
just start talking about NASCAR. So NASCAR had their first road course race of the year this past weekend in Texas.
Yeah.
Beautiful weather. I could have been there
yes.
for that one.
I was hoping for rain.
Yes, you were. You were, but didn't get it.
That's okay. It was still good racing.
We ran at COTA. We ran at mm-hmm. Circuit of the Americas, which was built for, I believe, F1.
Yes.
This is the second
yes.
race that NASCAR has ran now at COTA, last year being the first one.
Which was the worst one.
Which was wet. It was wet for that one.
Oh,
I believe
that was what they call a torrential downpour, is what that was called.
Yes.
No weather person, though. But I'm just assuming that's what you would call that.
We had one man, Wildland Man, Mr. Florida, Mr.
Yes.
Worldwide. In three lane
mm-hmm.
this past day. Another new Christina, this is 6 races of the NASCAR
yes.
car season. We had 6 different winners
mm-hmm.
now. And then this is the third first time winner of NASCAR, I believe
yep.
it. So
yes.
this again, I said it every single week. This car is proving to have completely level playing field.
Yes.
We are now seeing guys that are good race car drivers showing how good they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cause in the past, you've had some of these guys that may make NASCAR Cup Series because of daddy's money, blah, blah. But with daddy's money, these big sponsorships come right straight to the big top teams. So they're good equipment. Now
so
you've got guys.
Are you talking about Chase Elliott? Because when I think of daddy's money and daddy's name, that's the first
part
that I think of.
That wasn't the name I was thinking of, but we'll go with Joey Logano. But no,
oh,
Ross
I was
Chastain.
Go with actually, Austin Dillon, if we want to get real technical. Anyway, let's talk about these guys, these young studs.
Talk about Ross Chastain getting that win. And before we get to final lap, though, let's talk about he started off pretty good. The truck race and
okay.
mini race. Those two
Ooh.
Were phenomenal.
Crazy.
Middle of Sunday race was. It was like watching an intermediate track at Old Vegas where they're just getting a line, and it's a huge one-car line around the track.
Did you feel like you were at work? Because I felt like I was watching a freight train slowly
horrendous.
Go through the course. We should make
the
these.
How many laps, though? Woo!
Well, the first 15 were amazing, you know, and then the middle was a shit show if you're a fan of certain drivers. And then the end was amazing as well. And, yes, I'm alluding to the fact that, yes, Daniel Suarez led the first 15 laps. He literally made the pole sitter lead absolutely nothing and led the first 15 laps, got the stage win, and then got dumped on a restart. Stupid Kyle Larson. And then Kyle Larson done did wrecked him a second time. I don't get it. Did Kyle Larson just forget how to drive on a road course? Because he did not look good. But we'll talk about Hendrick and their lack of, I don't know what's going on there. But we'll talk about that, I guess, too. But it's crazy. Let's talk about the truck race, because you brought it up. I didn't get to watch it. I watched the replay. No, I was, you know, I just didn't watch it because I figured, typical me, Kyle Busch is in the race. There's no point in watching it. And I'm not going to lie to you. I had it on my phone. And then I kept thinking the same thing over and over again because who led the race? Who?
Kyle Busch.
But
it wasn't a good race. Oh.
It was. And then out of nowhere, how is it that two races in the same weekend, Alex Bowman is involved in and I'm not going to lie to you, I like Alex Bowman. I love his personality. I like that he says put it on a T-shirt no matter what is being said. Put it on a T-shirt, they'll sell. He is exactly right. Fans will eat that shit up. No lie. And then, so he gets involved. Yes, he was in a truck, folks, for those that live under a rock. He raced the truck to get extra practice in a race that last year, remember, it rained. But, you know, it made it a little more challenging in itself. He got in a wreck with Stuart Friesen and Kyle Busch. And look, the fourth place driver ended up being the winner. What a shock. Second one of the year. Who would have thunk it? Zane Smith, a kid out on a mission. Mind you, he's running for David Gillen Racing, who won the same race last year as well. So that worked out for them. That was bonkers. I'm not going to lie. That was some crazy stuff. They had double overtime. Could you imagine how many overtimes? Man, I was hoping the Cup race would have, you know, I don't know. Actually, I don't wish for any more overtime than that. That would have turned into terrible, terrible issues. And then, of course, we go to the Xfinity race. And who wins that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What? I mean, look at the top 10, Christina, the finishing for Xfinity. 1-4. Nine Chevys.
There's more Chevys, if we're being honest. There's more Chevys that run Xfinity. That's the crazy thing. Like, the Xfinity series is dominated by the Chevy and some Toyotas, and there's only ever, like, what, a handful of Fords? And that's the one thing I never understand, is how it's so lopsided in the Xfinity series with that. But, man, that race was no shortage of action. And, mind you, cutting the corners, that was a thing. Well, in the Xfinity race, you got penalized for it. They weren't very, thorough in the penalties for the Cup race in that. But, you know, whatever. I mean, they make up rules as they go. But we saw Noah Gregson finish fourth, kind of battled all day with some stuff. We saw Austin Hill, who's a rookie, mind you, this year, up there. He ran wild at Coda, I believe, last year in the Truck Series. Cole Custer, he got that extra seat time, needing that seat time for Sunday's race, and, you know, AJ Allmendinger, of course, won the race, but, you know.
Yeah. And then we have the race. Oh, also, it's funny, though. Congrats to Wallace for 30. He 28th place there in the race, so good
job,
Bubba.
Anyway?
I don't know, but car is a lot better than how qualified. So good job there. Anywho, hey, he had a top 40 finish. He finished in the top 40 for the Cup race on Sunday. So
pretty sure he had a Ringo flying too, right? That went poof. He was putting on a magic show during that race.
But yeah, Chastain getting the win there on Sunday, and getting it in what people are saying is
whatever
I'm looking for. Just lost the word. But here's my point. I did it several times on Twitter to several people. AJ Allmendinger is not asking for a championship in the Cup Series. Ross Chastain is. So Ross Chastain got dumped by AJ Allmendinger. College Racing wants to say, we'd be dumped to get beat. You did the dumping first to get the lead. You weren't, it's not like you led how many laps. You didn't lead any laps. So Ross Chastain is going for a championship. I 100% supported what he did.
Well, all right. Well, the word of the week is hypocrisy and hypocrite. And if you look it up in the dictionary, you're going to see AJ Allmendinger's face when you look up hypocrite in the dictionary. And then on top of that, I just don't get it. How can you say what you say in a post-race interview and your PR team or whoever decides it's smart to tweet what they did? Did you forget how you won the Xfinity regular season championship last year? I'm pretty sure you did more than what Ross Chastain did. Pretty sure he usually put him flat in the fence and that was it. And I'm pretty sure Austin Sedgwick hasn't forgiven that. And Alex Bowman played a part in this whole, bump and go thing as well. And Alex Bowman says there was nothing wrong with what Ross Chastain did, which is exactly correct. There's nothing wrong with racing somebody. You're racing for a win. You are fighting for a championship, whereas AJ Allmendinger is fighting for a trophy. The last I checked, winning a championship means more than winning a trophy. And on top of that, you're racing for a new team. You're trying to prove yourself. They took you in. They put you out on a limb and signed you when they didn't have to. Mind you, they could have taken Kurt Busch, which was the more experienced driver. Didn't. Went with the younger guy. Went with Ross Chastain. And the last time I looked, nowhere in the racing, 101 does it tell you to give way to AJ Allmendinger. If you're going to bump somebody like he did with that much time left on the track, I mean, you're bound to get it. You're bound to get bumped and run and maybe ran off the track. That's plain and simple. This last check is road course racing. We do it all the time. Mm-hmm. And AJ Allmendinger maybe should look in the mirror the next time he wants to make a stupid-ass comment.
Well, just, again, like I said, Ross Chastain, he's running for a championship Cup Series. AJ's not. Ross was looking for his first win. AJ, don't act that's the first time anybody's ever got dumped for a win. It's happened to everybody, every single driver
I'm pretty
in
sure
this series.
He's dumped many people in his career.
I'm sure he has. So, but it does suck. I can imagine, what it would feel like for him. He thought he was going to get in, and then he got dumped. He's probably more upset because he got dumped worse, quote unquote, than what he did to Ross Chastain. But the fact of the matter is Ross Chastain got the win. He got his first win of his career on a road race. He is sixth driver to get a win this season.
Thank God.
Out of six different wins now. So we've got Alex Bowman, Ross Chastain, William Byron, Aaron Briscoe, Austin Cindric, Kyle Larson, all with wins so far this year. We have not seen a Toyota in victory lane yet. Christina,
they look terrible on the track.
as we have said with dirt racing, it is still early.
Yeah.
For that.
It's definitely early. But it baffles me because, you know, that wasn't the only bump and run we saw in the race. Let's talk about Hendrick Motorsports for a minute. I don't know what the hell's going on in that camp. And why is it that week in and week out, Alex Bowman is the strongest car? I don't understand. When did the you know, the storyline flip at Hendrick? I'm not saying anything bad against Alex Bowman either, for those people that think I might be. I'm really not. I like Alex Bowman. Plus, he has dogs. Have you seen his dogs? They're adorable. It's just, when you think of Hendrick Motorsports, who do you think of? You think of Kyle Larson, and you think of...
William Byron.
Chase Elliott. But maybe will he be over Bowman, but either way, I mean, look, Kyle Larson got a win, yes. So far, he's secured a spot in the playoffs. I really don't think one win is going to keep you comfortably in a playoff spot. I think it's going to come down to a lot more than that.
Yeah.
But if we want to talk about it, let's talk about Chase Elliott. How many wins does he have? Zero. Yeah, we're only six races in. But Coda's supposedly one of his best tracks because, well, he is, quote-unquote, the road course racing king. Well, he didn't have a great day. He also wrecked Kyle Busch. Then he says, my bad. You might want to say more than my bad. Kyle Busch, don't forget. And I'm surely telling you that is one driver I wouldn't want to piss off is Kyle Busch. especially this year. This year, he's just wild. He's wild. He's out of control. This is, well, not really out of control, but, you know, Kyle Busch is a beast in his own right, and I feel like it got re-unleashed with this new car. I don't know. Hendrick has a lot of, they need a lot of help. It doesn't look very promising to want to go to Hendrick with this new car. They have lots of issues, lots of things they got to fix. It's weird. It's odd. I love this new car because, well, it just goes to show you more drivers had talent. They were just in less valued equipment, and now we're on the same playing field.
Yeah.
And it proved Sunday.
I think it's still early, though. With the new car, they're trying things for later in the season to see what's going to work, especially for the playoffs.
That's what they say.
If you were two, Kyle Larson, he got a win early last year. Didn't get another one until the Coke 600. So he had a dry spell last year as well.
That's not the driver I'm more concerned with Hendrick. Yeah, he has a couple DNFs. He just needs another win. I'd be more worried about the person you just re-signed to an extension that has zero wins.
But again, it's a car. I think they're trying to get stuff figured out.
I don't
see anything. I think Chase Elliott will be fine.
I hope he goes all year without a win, if I'm being honest.
He's leading the points straight, though. He is leading the points. He is first in the points, and he's first in the playoff points as well.
I don't even get it. I don't get how. He has zero wins.
He's got
zero
15
wins.
Playoff points. So,
where did he get them from? Not stage wins, that's for sure.
I don't know.
So I'm looking at the points. He has zero stage wins.
Right.
He has one top five and four top tens. That's all he has. crazy. This year's crazy. And then Alex Bowman would actually be second in points if we started the playoffs today.
Right. Yep.
Crazy. That's
so, way. Yep, points are crazy, but also... in the Fast Lane Sports Show, NASCAR Pick'em League, craziness going on in that league. Big shake-up again in the point standings after this past race at Coda.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go ahead and pull up the point here. Give me one second. We have our defending league champion take over points now. Debbie is at the top of the leaderboard with 177 points. Chris, Chris has been hanging around the top of the year. He's got that win already. His second, Tasha, has been hanging around the top five all year as well. She's third. Craig in fourth. And with that win, comes out the top five. And actually, Aaron, Christina, and Ty, these are all tied for fifth, basically, with 159
yeah.
points.
But then, she has a deal breaker because she has a win.
She does. She has a win. So I put her in fifth, just to be fair. And then I got 150 points. Anthony in ninth with 152. Christina, these points are so tight all the way down to Matt in 11th. I mean, he's only 33 points behind Debbie. We're all right there kicking up with each other.
Can we talk, though, for a second? I just want to talk about how Jeremy talks so much shit on the Facebook group.
Uh-huh. And Debbie brought it. Debbie brought it Sunday, too.
Oh,
Debbie even
was my hero.
Checking on him. Hey Jeremy,
so,
where are you at?
that's my hero right there. You know, But no, that's what's great. I'm telling you, this new car has made everything, even fantasy, because guys, we just play for fun. You know, it's really made everything so much more exciting. I think this series has been way more exciting this year, the Cup Series anyway. The other two are always exciting because, well, I mean, they'll wreck you to win every weekend. So I don't know what anybody's complaining about. So that's just saying. But no, it's just, it's wild. It's wild. Great year. And I love the fact that Jeremy's so far behind.
We've got Rich in Martinsville, Bristol Dirt, and Dega. Oh, Dega.
Can we just talk about the next two? Richmond.
Okay,
we've
got a couple minutes.
No, I'm just talking about the fact that we thought tempers flared and, you know, people threw a Tetra Tantrum after Coda.
Right.
Just wait till after Richmond and Martinsville. I'm telling you. Bristol, get the boxing gloves out. Put them in a ring. It's going to be so much fun. I can't wait. This new car on dirt. Ooh, Lord. You thought last year was fun on dirt with a car that they've raced before. Oh, you know what I didn't like? I think NASCAR, since we're talking about COTA and you brought it up, yes, it was an F1 made track. And, you know, NASCAR ran it. Great, I like it. But can we please adopt the localized cautions, please?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so much time if we did that.
Not only that, but I still, you know, I'm okay with the stage breaks now. It's not a big deal for me.
It's not
a deal breaker for me. But can we please, let's stop counting laps in between the stages. If you still want to count laps, stops on cautions, whatever. But
we shouldn't even do that.
On stage, we shouldn't. But on stage breaks, let's stop the laps.
Mm-hmm.
Stop the lap counts. And then, you know, so if you have a 100-lap race, you have a stage break at lap 20 and lap 8, then, you know, after lap 20, when you throw the call for the stage break, when you throw the green flag, I guess it should be like 21. You know, let's get all the laps in each stage. That's my only gripe for right now.
I was just, the only thing I was going to say is if we would do what I just said, which is not count caution, could you imagine how long these races would be?
Yeah, but I also think NASCAR would have these safety crews work a little bit quicker, be like, hey, you get it cleaned up quick now. We ain't count laps. You can't be just fiddling around. Get it cleaned up. Let's get back to racing. You know, so.
Mm, yeah, I agree, but you know.
We're just a small time radio show. NASCAR doesn't listen to us.
If they did, they wouldn't like what I had to say.
I don't know. We'll see if Tony Stewart's back in the booth after he was saying
Sunday
stuff.
God, man, please. Give me him every week. Every week, give me Tony Stewart. Every week. Boy or for all I care. Just give me Tony Stewart every week.
I like Clint. He brings that goofiness to it. I like that. Boy, he was fired up on pre-race out there on the track with Tony and them before the race. It was all kinds of wound up. I don't know if he had a couple
they
beers
for
Brecht or what, but no, I like seeing Kabori out there. He gives it a different feel. So let's go ahead and cue up your favorite part of the show. Joe.
Yes, please do.
All right, this is the penalty box segment. Sorry, all of you listening on Twitter, not put through the speakers. You were just sitting there going, what are we doing? This is the penalty box segment. For those of you who might not realize, this is Tina's favorite part of the show. This is where we take the sports knucklehead of the weekend and we throw them in penalty box. And if you have a suggestion, you can Facebook or Twitter us who you think should be in the penalty box. And Christina, I'm going to grab my pen. I want to write this down. Who do we have going into the penalty box weekend, and why is it AJ Allmendinger?
Yes. I mean, there could only be one person to be in the penalty box, and it is AJ Allmendinger, because AJ Allmendinger is the word of the day, a hypocrite. It's so college racing, and I mean, to put a tweet out there, and I love the fact that Trackhouse's social media person responded to it. That is beautiful. Love it. No, AJ Allmendinger was not the best car of the day. If he was the best car of the day, he would have been out front leading the laps. He wasn't. So shut the hell up. Quit saying he had the best car of the day. You did it, or you would have been up there the whole damn time. You weren't. You started last. Yes, you made it to the front. But I don't care. You weren't the best car. The best car ended up in victory lane, the one that led the most laps. Sorry. That's how it should work in NASCAR. You bumped him out of the way thinking you were going to win. You made a move too late. You left too much track available. Hell, you even let Alex Bowman too damn close. And it happened. It's a bump and it's a run. Get over it. It's racing. Even everyone in the booth said it was fair game. How Tony Stewart made to come and he wrecked your grandma all the way. Get over it. The last I checked, NASCAR isn't, you know, we ain't playing flag football or some shit where you can't hit somebody. It's NASCAR. I've seen far worse happen on a NASCAR track. Hell, I've seen blocking on lap 3 that turned into a melee. Come on now, AJ. Come on. You literally wrecked Austin Cedric for a regular season championship. And I don't mean a bump and run, folks, at Bristol. I mean, he literally wrecked him. He had a wrecked race car himself at the end of that race. So I don't want to hear him saying, oh, well, as long as you can look at yourself in the mirror and be okay with what you done. Were you saying that for yourself? I don't understand. I don't understand. Get over it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yep.
So the ball baby can sit in the penalty box for a week. Hopefully it works and he doesn't win the dash for cash in the Xfinity Series and Noah does. That's all I'm hoping for.
Well, Noah himself in the right spot
to be
honest for the dash for cash. So, yeah. Yep. Well,
even better.
Christie, we got to talk to Iggy from Lernerville Speedway. You got to learn a little bit about what's going on this year at Lernerville.
Lots of late models. Lots of late models.
Yeah.
I can't believe the Outlaws did them dirty.
Yeah.
I can't
I want to bring it up.
Yeah,
But he, you know, he alluded to the outlaw backing out of the firework 100 weekend, the firecracker 100 weekend. But yeah, lots of great stuff going on in Lunenburg. Christina, we've got we're going to get Charlie Best. He recently scheduled to come on talk about Atomic for this year. We still got Billy Rebar coming up to us about Jennerstown. We're going to have Aaron on the show a couple weeks talk about the Super Cup Stock Car Series as well, because their team is about to start also. So we've got a lot more special guests coming up. We're sticking our small town short track team again for this year. Really get back to the basics of this show was started, Christina, and really emphasize and hammer the small town short track. That's what we started this show about. That's why we wanted to do this. It wasn't about NASCAR or even World of Outlaws or the All Stars. You know, they have their own stuff that promotes themselves. You know, we wanted to talk about small town short tracks, and we're really trying to focus on them a lot more this year. But we got all of those guys coming up here, Pearson. So even some drivers, we're talking to some drivers, getting them on the show as well. So a lot of big stuff coming up. Everybody wants to stay tuned to our social media to find out what's going on.
Exactly. A lot of fun things happening. You never know what might come out of my mouth. I mean, I've been known. I've been known to have a lot of things to be said. But hey, you know, that's what happens. This is what we do. I own the network. I can say what I want. So, I mean, I pay the biggest bill of all, so that's all that matters. But no, I enjoy doing it. I enjoy being able to talk dirt racing 99% of the show, and that 1% we get to talk about NASCAR or whatever else may be going on in the world of sports. There's a lot of other things happening, the craziestness going on. We don't have enough time to cover that today, obviously.
Right.
We would be here till midnight if that were the case. but, I mean, it's been fun. I'm glad we get to do it every week and people still tune in and people want to be a part of the show. And I'll probably be watching Lunenburg like I do every year on the computer.
Yep.
Unless I can find a way to get up there. But I love all the late models. I love the dirt racing. So get out there, support those local tracks, because like Biggie alluded, without the fans, there is nothing. So
That's right. Well, Christina, you have a great rest of your evening and a great week. I'm sure I'll be talking to you here shortly. But
of course.
We will talk to you, obviously, next Monday. We'll be back here at 8 o'clock.
Sounds good. Y'all have a great week. Enjoy everyone. If you want to at me on Twitter, go for it. I might chat with you or tell you you're just wrong about, you know, your point of view on the racing. I'll do it kindly. But no, with that, enjoy everyone and peace out. I'll see y'all next week.
All right. That was our co-host, Miss Dina. Thank you for joining us again tonight. You guys enjoyed the show. Thank you to Eric Westendorf B from Lunenburg for coming on the show to talk about them tonight. I appreciate that as well. Thank you for tuning in to Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. This has been the Fast Lane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fishing Game. Tune in next Monday at 8 p.m. and we'll be back here. We might have a special guest. We might not. I don't know. We'll have to find out. All right. You have a great rest of your week. Have a good evening. Talk to you guys next week for Biggie, for Christina. I'm your host, Pete. See ya.